Smuggled In, written by Galatea Galvanized, and read by Corey Gathonia as Cody and the narration.
Devil with a Bird Dress as Wooly.
Flightless Not Fightless as Boyle.
Black Glass as Trapper.
Orjata as the Pirate Captain.
Polynomial Pandemic as Obi-Wan.
Dr. Fumbles McStupid as Smuggler.
Katana as Pirate First Mate.
Rated for teen and up audiences, and no archive warnings apply. For the fandom of Star Wars, The Clone Wars, and the relationship of Cody / Obi-Wan Kenobi. Featuring the additional tags of Order 66 Didn't Happen, Fluff and Humor, Mystery, Cody doesn't know how this keeps happening to him, and he doesn't even have a Jedi to blame for this one. The smell was the worst of it. Cody had been in cramped situations before. Hell, their current accommodations were practically roomy compared to the coffin slots of their bunks on Kamino. He'd been caught in cave-ins, felt the threat of 20 tons of sandstone hovering an inch above his chest while breathing in more dust than oxygen. And he'd been in the aftermath of more than one LAATI crash and crawled his way through broken girders whilst shining edges of sheet metal gouged perfectly parallel lines in his armor. But none of them had smelt like this.
Criffing hells, what do they keep in this place?
He heard Wooly ask, and he turned his head towards the sound automatically, despite knowing that he wouldn't be able to see more than a dotted array of dim colors through the walls separating them. Light slipped through the perforated holes of the corrugated steel in even, oversaturated lines, and flashes of orange and white armor moved within them. Cody raised his shackled hands to the grated metal. When he put a finger over one of the holes, it left a perfectly raised punch of a circle behind. He sighed. "Well, we were about to arrest them for Chilchina smuggling," he said dryly, sitting back on his heels. "So, if I had to guess, Chilchinas." In the cage to his left, Boyle scoffed.
"People will pay 2 million credits for fur that smells like this."
Trapper laughed further down the row.
"They probably wash it first."
"Nah, washing costs extra. 3 million credits."
"Then..."
"Boys," Cody interrupted, and a gratifying silence fell. In the silence, the smell was worse. Stars, but Cody would give a lot to have his bucket and its dual aerators latched over his head right now. Anything to cut the stench of urine and feces and wet dog and rotting meat. And something sour, something bitterly metallic on the underside of his tongue that was thickening the air into a choking hazard. "All right, no need for finesse." And he felt the men around him sharpen, ready. These were built to hold 2-pound flying rodents, not 200-pound soldiers. "See what will break." With the subsequent clanging all around him, Cody pressed his shoulders to one wall and turned sideways until he could put his feet flat on the one opposite. There was just enough room for him to get enough leverage to push, and he knocked his head against the wall as his muscles strove to extend. His back and quads and thighs thrummed in fierce harmony as he pressed and pressed and pressed. His muscles strained. The walls did not.
"The fuck are these things made of?"
Boyle panted, and Cody felt a drop of perspiration coalesce in his forehead as he pushed his muscles to their limit, then past their limit. His max leg press was over 900 pounds. He couldn't imagine why any cage designed for something smaller than a field radio would need a sheer strength of almost 1,000 pounds. These things must have been extruded as solid metal shells to not even bend. His legs dropped, smarting with effort. He could feel his heartbeat pounding in his ears. Damn. Damn. He looked around as much as he could in the cramped space. No one extruded a box with the door attached. The hinges would be a weak point. But the cages were oddly long, longer than he was tall, and he would have to put his hands over his head to get any leverage between the far wall and the door. With the shackles keeping everything from his wrist to his elbow tied together, he wouldn't be able to reach. Any luck? He asked his men, and the sullen, heaving breaths crowding the silence were his answer. All right. New plan. Who? Footsteps echoed down the hall. Two pairs. Three. Six distinct sets, which was twice as many people as Cody had thought were on board, assuming there was a pilot still at the helm. Cody only had three men with him, and four clones versus seven smugglers was only good odds when the clones weren't in cages. He grimaced. This was supposed to be a routine jaunt through the mid-rim to test the Starstruck's repaired quantum engines. They hadn't even been on patrol. They'd been about to head home when their ship's computer had caught the warp signature of a wanted frigate on the edge of their radar. And Cody hadn't been able to leave well enough alone.
"So sorry, sir, so sorry,"
one of the smugglers said.
"We didn't know you were coming. We would have, cleaned up if we had known, sir. Sorry."
"And yet here I am, having to clean up your messes for you,"
another answered, and there was something strangely, awfully familiar about the voice. It was deep and gravelly, and each vowel sounded as though it was scraped across Duracrate on its way out of the man's throat. His words were smooth and contemplative in contrast, and Cody closed his eyes to hear him better. What was ringing a bell? He was still trying to remember if he'd arrested a man with that voice before, when the footsteps rounded the corner.
"So sorry again, sir. Sorry,"
the first man said. Cody thought he could hear the man wringing his hands from what must be 30 feet away.
"We didn't know what they knew, what they'd seen, and one of them, well, one of them is, he...
is the most celebrated hero of the Clone Wars and the fearless leader of the new evolution of the GAR,"
the second man asked dryly, and Cody felt like he almost had it, almost had the memory. He squeezed his eyes tighter, listening.
"Is perhaps Marshal Commander Cody?"
Cody's eyes flew open. Only one person said his name that way. But that was impossible.
"You knew,"
the subordinate said miserably.
"I didn't build a criminal empire from the ashes of Tsai-Chi through ignorance. And you know clearly that killing him here would bring the full might of the GAR down on our operations."
Guilty silence ensued. The other GAR members stayed quiet, listening, waiting. None of them liked the fame the end of the war brought them, but they'd be grateful if it kept them alive now. The ringleader sighed.
"Show him to me, then. I will determine how much he knows."
Cody repositioned himself as silently as he could at the front of the cage. He tucked his legs beneath him and loaded his weight onto the balls of his feet, ready to spring free the second it looked like he had any chance at all. The cage was little more than 2 feet tall, so whoever was on the other side had to bend down to scrape a key into the lock. The door swung open, and Cody looked up to see a man with a shock of long dark hair curling over his shoulders, cheekbones sharp enough to pull his cheeks into gaunt caverns, and eyes like burnt-out embers beneath high brows. And still, still, there was something familiar in those coal black eyes. A slow smile unfurled across the man's thin, bloodless lips, and the five men behind him cowed backwards.
"Well,"
the man said.
"Hello there."
It took every cell of professional dignity in Cody's body not to collapse backwards into relief. As it was, he could only just keep his jaw from dropping. Obi-Wan. Criffing hells. He'd seen pictures of Obi-Wan's transformation into Racco Hardeen, but nothing could have prepared him for this. The genetic modifications were perfect. His bone structure had been replaced wholesale, and even his freckles had been wiped clean. Only the sub-physical remained to give him way. The way he walked, heels striking the durasteel. The way he tilted his head when he was curious. Down and slightly to the left. The way his vowels rolled into a gently chiming rhythm when he was annoyed. And of course, the way he said Cody's name.
You seem to be in quite the dilemma. Would you care to cooperate?
Obi-Wan asked in another man's voice. And Cody didn't know why Obi-Wan was here, but he knew he needed to play along. He curled his fingers into fists and scowled. "If you already know who I am," he said, "then you already have your answer." Obi-Wan stepped closer. His heeled boots clicked on the durasteel as he came to the edge of Cody's open cage. The corrugated iron beneath Cody's shins dug harsh furrows into his skin through his blacks as he leaned backwards to maintain eye contact.
"The hard way, then,"
Obi-Wan accepted, and he reached down to wrap his hand around the nape of Cody's neck. Cold fingers dug into the tight bunches of tendons there, tilting Cody's head further back.
"Do you know the rumors regarding how a Sith can reach into a man's mind?"
he asked thoughtfully, and despite Cody's confidence in his deductions, despite knowing that this was Obi-Wan, knowing Obi-Wan down to his bones, beneath and through his bones, Cody felt a frisson of fear lace through his spine. One of the smugglers said.
"Yes?"
Never taking his eyes from Cody's, Obi-Wan smiled that thin-lipped, cruel smile again.
"And do you know how it's done?"
No, but I..."
"Allow me to show you."
And then, Cody couldn't help but let out a muffled shout of surprise when Obi-Wan tightened his grip on Cody's neck, bent at the waist, and kissed him.
"Holy shit!
Cody!
Cody!"
But the sounds of shock from the smugglers and the renewed cage clanging of his men faded into white noise as Obi-Wan kissed him harder, using his grip on Cody's neck to tilt his chin up and to the right. He ran his tongue along the seam of Cody's lips, and Cody couldn't help but open his mouth to Obi-Wan's insistence. Seven hells, this was Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan kissing him. And even the awful stench and the metal digging into his knees and their gaping audience couldn't distract him from that. Cody closed his eyes and barely held back a moan as he wished his hands were free, wished he could reach up to wrap his fingers in unfamiliar hair and press more kisses into unfamiliar skin. Stars above, but when he'd imagined their first kiss, he'd never imagined something like this. Something like... Then Obi-Wan's tongue pressed something hard and metallic into Cody's open mouth, and Cody almost choked on both the object and his surprise. On instinct, he curled his own tongue around it, and he could feel grooves, notches, a loop at one end and a point at the other. A key. Oh. He tucked the key into the pocket of his cheek and felt Obi-Wan start to pull away. For the sake of the show, he growled deep in his throat and lunged up, snapping his teeth into the space where Obi-Wan's lips had just been. Instantly, casually, Obi-Wan threw out a hand and pushed Cody back with the force. It wasn't a soft blow, either. Cody tipped over, skidding against the cage floor, and by the time he scrambled back to his knees, Obi-Wan had already shut the door.
I hope you enjoyed the demonstration, gentlemen,
Obi-Wan said softly, and even through the perforated holes in the cage door, Cody could see the smuggler's wide eyes.
No, yeah, so did he know?
One of them asked, terror rampant in his voice. And Cody, at last, took a moment to wonder why Obi-Wan would be here in the first place. The Jedi wouldn't send a master to investigate Chilchina smuggling, and he wouldn't have undergone all the pain and expense of a genetic transition unless he was on an intel mission with lives at stake. Also, 4 caged clones and 7 smugglers wasn't good odds, but 6 smugglers against 1 unchained Jedi wasn't even a competition. Obi-Wan clearly needed to maintain his cover, so why... think. What was it that the smugglers didn't want Cody to know? He already knew about the illegal rodents, obviously. He was in one of the Chilchina cages. The cages that were exactly human length and easily able to withstand human strength. The Chilchinas were a front, Cody realized. Anyone investigating would see the exotic, endangered species. Assume that was why the smugglers were acting suspicious. Find them 2,000 or so credits, and never dig deeper. The smell would protect against most of the GAR's usual sniffers. They could do it 100 times, 1,000 times, and they'd never get caught selling their actual prize. People.
He doesn't know. The dear commander only knows now exactly how bad Chilchina smell,
Obi-Wan said. The relief of the gathered men was palpable, and Cody felt rage ignite in his stomach, molten and whirling. He clenched his teeth to hold himself back from throwing himself at the cage door. Obi-Wan was here. Obi-Wan was obviously taking care of it. He breathed in through his nose, made a face at the smell, and breathed out through his mouth. He could trust Obi-Wan to get the job done, he knew. And maybe, when this was all over, he could ask about that kiss. And maybe see about getting a kiss that wasn't a handcuff key transfer in disguise.
So, as much as I'd love to keep him for my own, best to return him to his adoring public,
Obi-Wan continued, and Cody was oddly grateful for the dark and well-shielded cage. He felt like his blush could melt through steel. I'd love to keep him. Cody added it to his list of things to think about.
Right away, sir.
The toadying asshole from before breathed out.
Yes, sir. Of course, sir. Hoth's nearby. We can leave them there.
6 pairs of boots turned back the way they came, and the clack of heels on durasteel echoed down a long hallway and up a spiral set of stairs. When the last of the clanging died down, Cody spat the key Obi-Wan had given him into his hands, and he could just barely twist his left wrist to fit it into the slot connecting the 2 cuffs until the lock sprang.
Hey, Cody, are you okay? What did he do?
Boyle asked as Cody's cuffs clanged to the floor. Cody crawled forward, flexing his hands in their newfound freedom. When he reached the door, he was unsurprised when it swung open at his touch. He couldn't help the grin that spread over his face as he shook his head. In the midst of all of Obi-Wan's showboating, the idiots never bothered to make sure Obi-Wan had locked it up again. Damn. Damn. He'd never get over how good Obi-Wan was.
I don't care who he is,
Boyle continued.
If that bastard did something to you.
Cody stood up, cracked his neck, and reached down to pull the bar holding Boyle's cage door out. The door creaked open, revealing Boyle's wide-eyed and open-mouthed shock. Don't worry, Cody promised, swinging the handcuff key around one finger and winking. He didn't do anything that I won't do to him. The end. This podfic was recorded for Voice Teams 2024 for the challenge of Voice Battle. And as such, you should also check out Running Contraband, Obi-Wan's point of view of this same scene.